Hi, I'm Dr. Andrea Stover, licensed marriage and family therapist, and you're listening to the Modern Day Romantic Podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today, we are going to be tackling the question, are you with the wrong partner? Now, spoiler alert, I cannot give you the answer to that. Only you can answer that. But I will give you some things to reflect on as you search for your answer to that question. Before we dive into that, if you wouldn't mind liking, subscribing, and even leaving a comment letting me know what you think of this episode, I'd greatly appreciate it. This is the way the podcast grows and is able to reach more people. So thanks for your support. All right, so let's dive in. If you're asking this question, am I with the wrong partner? You are obviously in a state of conflict. There's something going on in there. And what I want to say first is I believe that we all have the answer to these types of questions inside of us. So sometimes in our society, we can live in a chronic state of disconnect from ourselves due to the pace of life, due to electronics, social media, phones, all this type of stuff that kind of takes us out of our bodies and disconnected from ourselves, and just being lost in the hustle and bustle of a life too. All of these things, our society, American society, is really not set up to support embodiment. We would not work 8 hours a day at a desk if it were type of thing. So you want to know, hey, how do I best connect with myself? What supports me in going in? You're going to need to be in silence. You're going to need to feel connected to your heart or your higher self or your natural essence or true self, whatever you want to call that, your intuition. Something in there is going to support you in finding the answer to this, but you've got to make the time and space to allow for that answer to reveal itself. And if you don't, you're going to perpetually be asking, almost maybe even obsessively or ruminating, like, am I with the wrong person? Is the wrong person? I don't know. Stuck in analysis paralysis, and you're not going to be able to engage with and hear and then respond accordingly to that answer, whatever that is for you. And the other thing I want to say that's really important before we dive in is that very often we are learning about ourselves and coming into selfhood through relationship with someone else. So it's not like we are just these siloed off individuals who have all the answers, know all the answers before anything happens, during it, after the fact. It's a process, and we have to engage with the other and have experiences with the external world to really inform the internal self too. So it's not that if you, let's say you conclude, oh, I'm with the wrong partner. Okay. It's not like that was necessarily the case, you know, from the beginning. It may be, oh, I didn't know this part of myself, and now I do, and now I can see this person isn't the right fit for me. But you may not have known that all along. You might have needed the relationship in order to inform you of who it is that you're looking for and who would be a good fit for you, who isn't, and why, you know, to be aware of that part of yourself. So again, it's kind of complicated, really, but it takes connection with self and connection with the other person and that kind of tension between the two, the back and forth, to really inform yourself, to know, to find that answer. Okay, so let's get into some specifics around this. What are the scenarios and situations that may come up that may require or trigger someone to ask this question? One, let's start with our expectations for a relationship. I think that a lot of times, and this is just me speaking as a romantic, a lot of times when romantics talk about relationships, they are very much met with, well, that's impossible. That's not true. That's unrealistic. That's not going to happen. You know, get grounded, get in the real world. You're lost in fantasy kind of thing. Okay. So I want to say there's some merit to that as far as having way too high of expectations. It's almost when romantics can kind of get lost in fantasy, lost in ideal love, feeling like, oh, I'm going to end up with almost a deity, you know, this divine perfect being. And yes, we can say we know that's not going to be the case. But I've often seen romantics swing to the opposite side and feel like, because they have been disillusioned, well, I guess I just am aiming way too high and I better settle for something, even if it doesn't feel right or feel good to me. Maybe this is just what it's supposed to be since I'm a romantic and have too high of expectations. And that's where I would push back and say, no, you're a romantic for lots of reasons and you see the beauty and the potential in relationships. And it's okay to want to feel intimacy and deeply connected and have a spiritual union of sorts with another human being. That's perfectly fine. And you can find that. You can find that. You're not going to find a perfect, idealized version of that. But if you are just almost choosing someone after maybe your last disillusionment or kind of splat on the concrete, like I've fallen and I just give up. And so you just go out and whomever crosses your path, you just say, well, I'm going to make it work with this person. I don't know that that's really you being true to yourself. And maybe with grace, you end up with a wonderful partner in that way. But this episode is about, am I with the wrong person? And we can be with the wrong person if we are almost eliminating the romantic, the part that has hope and vision for what we want love to be, and doing this settling thing. So you have to settle, right? Like settle on a decision, settle on a choice, land the ship. But that doesn't mean settling for something that just doesn't feel fulfilling or, let's just say, life-affirming. So very often people can fall into stagnation, fall into relationships that are not viable. There's just not a beating heart in it. It's we're going through the motions here. And of course, the couple's therapist in me can say there's a lot going on there and lots to explore. And maybe the relationship is totally viable with the proper support and resources. But if you're in a relationship and feel pretty flatlined and you know somewhere in your heart this just isn't it, then you may be with the wrong person, right? And that gift to yourself of saying, okay, yeah, I don't know what it exactly looks like to have balanced love and having a very hopeful part, but this isn't it. And it's okay. It's okay if that's your experience. The next thing I want to bring up as far as why people may ask this question is when there's been a really big betrayal or wounding of sorts. So no one gets into relationship thinking, oh, I'm going to get lacerated in this, and this is, you know, going to be so awesome and what a wonderful growth opportunity. No way. No. But it does happen. It happens. So maybe a betrayal is an infidelity. Maybe it's not honoring something sacred that you thought was just between the two of you. Maybe there was just this given, like, no, this is something really special to the two of us. And there's been some violation, let's say, to the relationship, and even, you know, it individually, it feels like a deep cut, a deep wound, a deep violation. Sometimes, and again, being a couples therapist, totally good at trying to work on and through these types of wounds. I do believe a lot of people can, through time and hard work, heal from this. However, sometimes your healing may be to not be in the relationship anymore. Sometimes it may be, I don't think I'm with the right person anymore. This is the wrong person for me because in order to be in a relationship, I have to feel safe. I have to feel like I can trust. I have to feel like there's a you and a me and a we here that's just us. And if that violation has been too much for the person to handle, then sadly, I think it's, it's okay to say, this isn't the right person for me anymore, because the type of relationship that I'm really wanting or need or who I am as a person desires this. And I just know in my heart of hearts, I'm not going to be able to get to that place. Like I said, a lot of people can work through this, but if also it's okay to give yourself permission if this makes it not the right relationship for you anymore. Totally understandable. Another example that people often bring forward when it comes to asking this question is, hey, we're good in so many ways, but there's just this one thing that like is kind of like a gut clincher, or it's like a big disconnector for me. And I don't know how to work through that, or I don't know if that's okay with me or not. So this, again, examples are endless possibilities here. But where I think we need to take this is in the realm of negotiables and non-negotiables. So let's just use a pretty common example, I think, of different levels of libido. One person may say, love you lots, and not interested in having sex near as frequently as you. The other may say, love you lots, and need to have sex in order to really feel like I'm able to express that and able to fulfill, you know, my own libido, my own life force energy that's seeking to be expressed through the act. Okay. I know, again, sex, it's a tricky example I chose because I think it's really, really complicated. For example, someone, like I said, is life force energy. So hey, maybe you can have some of that occur and be exchanged through the relationship, but maybe there are other creative pursuits or endeavors, for example, that the partner with higher libido, you know, might be able to funnel or channel some of that. However, some may just say, no, like you want this once every 6 months and I need this once a week or something like that. And no matter how we kind of do this dance around one another, I know that I will always be in a perpetual state of lack or need. And I fear that that's going to turn me hard. That's going to turn me rigid. That's going to turn me, you know, calloused in some ways. And therefore I may not be with the right partner, because we're not going to be able to have a functional relationship. Again, I'm using the sex piece as an example, but this could be anything. We're talking about what are your non-negotiables. So, hey, I'm flexible here, but in this way, I'm not flexible. And you need to be honest with yourself, back to self-connection. If that's you, okay, yeah, I'm not okay with this. And therefore, no matter how much I love you, I don't think this is the right relationship, or this isn't the right partnership in this way. And that's okay. It's okay. We get so black and white in this, you know, it's like all of our vulnerabilities and sensitivities and wounds come up when, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, or there's no need for them to at all. I'm not saying that. But I do think if we don't have the freedom to choose for ourselves and allow our partners to also choose whether or not this is the relationship, or this is the, if I'm the right fit, or if you're the right fit, it's okay. It's okay. We'd rather, you know, out of love, we'd rather someone be true to themselves than stay in a relationship with us when it's not aligned, because I can guarantee there are going to be other symptoms or other issues that arise as a result of that betrayal of the self. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense and you don't get too bogged down in the details of that, but it's a really important one, knowing what your non-negotiables are and where are you flexible? And that's going to help determine whether or not this isn't workable for me. No matter how much we care, it's just not going to work. It's just not the right fit. The next example I want to provide is when we feel we're in a relationship where there is no love and what that can lead to. So maybe a little bit like the first example I gave, where there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of what a relationship can be versus the reality of it, just feeling too tightly, you know, constricted or going with so little, you know, from based on what you feel you need. But this is a little different in that The absence of love can feel like bondage. It can feel like we're stuck. If we're in a committed relationship, but there is no love, if we don't feel love for our partner, then what are we doing there? Why are we committed in a, you know, loving relationship if there's no love? What that absence of love is going to lead to is martyrdom. It may lead to a lot of resentment. It may lead to what John and Julie Gottman call the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They can predict divorce with 93% accuracy. And this final one, when it's present, is automatically going to say, you know, there's really no coming back from this, which is contempt. And that's kind of when the upper lip goes up in a disgust and all of this. So you can imagine, and maybe you're in this, where you're in a marriage or a relationship where you do not feel love for your partner. Maybe you never did. Maybe you did, and now you don't. And again, there's lots of reasons for that. We can, in couples therapy, work through some of that to illuminate, okay, is this, you know, because something went unhealed and we can work to mobilize that? Or is it really, I'm just not with the right person. I'm with the wrong person. And in that, you know, we can, that contempt can really make us bitter. It can really destroy a partner too. It can lead to disrespect. It can lead to all sorts of things. So if you're feeling contempt, like, which is really disdain, disgust, maybe even hatred for a partner, can we just say, like, maybe you're with the wrong person, and that's okay to admit that? What in you is chaining yourself? What in you is shackling yourself to stay in something where you're that miserable? So you have permission. It's okay. The final example, which I don't really feel I even need to say because it's so obvious, but if you are being abused in any way, shape, or form, you are not with the right person. You are not meant to be beaten, violently yelled at, screamed at, hit, mentally, emotionally damaged, destroyed from being in a relationship with a person. So if you find yourself in these narcissistic, abusive relationships, those types of things, you're not with the right partner. You're with the wrong partner. And I know those are really complicated to get out of. I know there's a lot of deep psychology in there, but can you tell yourself the truth? Even if you feel, I still have empathy for my partner because I know they were abused and I know they're just doing that because, you know, that's what was done to them, or, you know, however we justify people's actions and behaviors, it doesn't mean we can't have empathy, but that doesn't mean that you need to stay in something. I don't think that is, I will say, I don't think that is the right partner for you if you're being abused. And that's something, again, people have to take responsibility, and, you know, maybe the abusive partner does work on themselves and maybe you two can repair at some point if that's the person you really want to be with. But for right now, there's something really off about our relationship or with this partner for me. So there's that. Okay, to summarize, I really think couples that make it over the long haul have compatibility in both the day-to-day in their lives with one another and are united around some shared vision for the purpose of their relationship. What goes into that is each person's values, each person's goals, aims, hopes, dreams, and wishes for their own life, and deriving a sense of purpose and connection through the relationship with one another. So we need balance in the day-to-day and the big picture in these relationships that end up you know, being functional, but also like really an adventure, a journey, a ride. When we are in a relationship where we don't have a larger vision, an aim for, you know, what we both unite around, what we both hope. And that could be, let's raise a family together. Let's start a business together. Let's travel the world together. Those types of things. Those things really help to anchor and help us feel more solid, stable, secure. So it's not just one or the other, like, hey, you know, you kind of drive me nuts in living together, but we also have this really cool purpose or meaning behind our relationship. And some of these things can balance each other out, let's say. It could also be, hey, we're really awesome in the day-to-day. We just seamlessly kind of found a way to divvy up the chores, the day-to-day responsibilities, all this stuff. Yet I feel something's missing because we don't have that larger picture, that larger purpose for our relationship. So I think it's a balance of these two. And when we're with a partner where we may even have one, but not the other, the day-to-day versus the big picture, we can sometimes feel we're with the wrong partner as well. And in those cases, I think we need to just sit down, be real with ourselves. It is your life. You have to take responsibility for that. And make sure that you've communicated with your partner. Make sure you really know them and aren't just projecting, oh, they would never be open to that, or they're not going to do that. They're not interested. They can't be that. Well, have you given them a shot? Have you given them an opportunity? If you have, if you've talked endlessly about these things and there's no alignment and there's no other creative way to kind of satiate this or get your needs met in some ways, then yeah, again, you may be with the wrong partner here. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave your comments. Let me know what you think of this episode, and I'll see you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you're interested in learning about ways to work with me, head over to my website, themoderndayromantic.com. From there, you'll be able to contact me and learn a bit more about the customized intensives and retreats I offer both individuals and couples. Thanks so much for your support, and I'll see you next episode.